Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Olive Mitra. Today's episode is about the possibility of repurposing a cardiac diagnosis tool into a non-invasive alternative for ventricular arrhythmia treatment. Isn't it wonderful when an old tool suddenly has a new usefulness? It still does everything that it used to, but now there's a novel shininess to it. Our perspective shifted somehow, and we saw what the tool could do in a different light. It enabled us to look at a problem in a new way. Medicine is always looking at problems in new ways. Researchers and clinicians tackling complex health conditions are always creating new combinations of findings and practice to improve patients' lives. Sometimes repurposing the tools we already use might solve many problems at once. The electrocardiogram, abbreviated as ECG or EKG, is one of those tools. You know, the electrodes on your chest to measure your heart's electrical activity. The peaks and valleys of the familiar waveform generated from ECG contain information about how each region of the heart is performing. Well, what if those electrodes on your chest could determine the location of a heart problem that hasn't even happened yet? Enter signal-averaged electrocardiography, or SAECG, a specialized analysis of multiple ECG waveforms used to detect electrical conductivity in the ventricles of the heart. It's non-invasive, easy to set up, and a powerful tool for assessing the risk of ventricular arrhythmia, or VA. Already used as an early detection tool for patients with high VA risk, could this simple procedure make more invasive diagnostic methods unnecessary? In this paper, the authors propose the use of signal-averaged electrocardiography as a replacement for more invasive imaging diagnostic tools to make VA treatment safer and more precise. We'll see how the SAECG procedure identifies potential cardiac tissue damage, how the researchers evaluated its potential as an early warning tool for VA, and see if the results make it an effective alternative to more invasive procedures. Let's start by looking a little closer at ventricular arrhythmia. It is a life-threatening, irregular heartbeat developed in regions of the heart that have scarred tissue. People who have already had a cardiac event or procedure are at high risk. But those aren't the only causes of cardiac scarring. Genetic factors, structural factors, ischemia, and disease can all contribute to cardiac damage. While scarring can be dealt with to prevent or reverse VA, the procedures involve risk of further damage. ECGs are common tests to get diagnostic information and monitor a person's heartbeat. Modulations in the characteristic of ECG waveforms can help target cardiac regions for further diagnosis. SAECG goes even deeper by detecting very minute variations in ECG signals that are there but imperceptible to humans. These signal variations are called late potentials and indicate that the right or left ventricle is having an electrical signal issue. Most of the issues are caused by areas of scarred cardiac tissue called substrates. A procedure called catheter ablation inserts a catheter through a blood vessel all the way to your heart to ablate or destroy the substrate. It does this by either freezing it or heating it. In some cases, surgeons will use the sensor at the end of the catheter to scan and digitally map the inside and outside of your heart. This allows them to look for substrate before ablating it. While this is generally considered a minimally invasive procedure, it comes with some very serious risks, including stroke, further cardiac tissue damage, and the possibility of the arrhythmia returning if you leave any substrate behind. The authors thought that there was a potential in using SAECG as an entirely non-invasive alternative, but SAECG isn't regularly recommended for everyone. Usually, to have an SAECG recommended, a patient has to have very specific rhythmic abnormalities that put them at high risk of VA. The authors thought that there might be strong correlations between SAECG analysis and the substrate locations, and that these correlations might suggest an argument for using SAECG in lieu of traditional mapping. This paper is a retrospective study that looks for these correlations. If they find them and they're strong enough, perhaps SAECG can replace mapping and be useful for more patients. They gathered data for 58 patients from the Heart Rhythm Center at Taipei Veterans General Hospital. The data was divided into two groups. Group 1 had people who showed at least one reason to have an SAECG recommendation. Group 2 didn't exhibit any of the standard clinical ECG abnormalities to recommend SAECG. All of the patients in the dataset had undergone SAECG, then catheter-based mapping, followed by ablation. The analysis of the patient data showed a number of interesting connections. Group 1, those with a reason to have an SAECG recommended, showed 1, significantly larger scarring areas in the right ventricle, 2, more epicardial low voltage zones, and 3, more arrhythmic foci in the RVOT, the right ventricle outflow tract. Let's take a look at these results and see what they might mean. Number 1. Right ventricle scarring means that the section of tissues in the right ventricle have been replaced with scar tissue, disrupting the electrical signal path. This chamber sends deoxygenated blood back to the lungs, so damage to this tissue can lead to blood backing up in the heart, causing swelling and potential damage to kidneys and the liver. Number 2, epicardial low voltage zones are areas on the outside of the heart with compromised electrical activity due to substrate. They are strong indicators of scarring and respond well to ablation treatment. Patients in group 1 had larger LVZs, almost double the measurements of LVZs in group 2. Number 3, arrhythmic foci are locations of abnormal electrical activity that can lead to VA. The RVOT is the section of the heart that sends blood from the right ventricle into the pulmonary artery, like an on-ramp into the lungs. The study indicated high density of foci in this region, a prediction for further scarring. This section is mechanically difficult for surgical procedures and presents a high risk of non-substrate tissue damage. The researchers found that for the patients in group 1, they were likely to find scarring, especially in the right ventricle, the epicardial LVZ, and arrhythmic foci in the RVOT. But that's about it. All of those regions are already associated with high potential for scarring-induced VA. Did the authors find the evidence they were looking for to exalt SAECG into a more clinically important role? Well, yes and no. While this specific study outlined some very particular conditions for correlating SAECG with VA danger zones in the heart, their focus was limited. A relatively small sample size and a retrospective study were not able to provide the significance of correlation the authors were hoping for. SAECG is not going to replace mapping anytime soon. SAECG still does its specific job well, and there might be something there. If you're already getting an ECG, your doctor might see a reason to harness the extra computational analysis of an SAECG for another layer of diagnostic evaluation. It's possible that combining it with sonographic mapping techniques could show some real promise as a detailed, non-invasive diagnostic method. ECG electrodes are common and accessible all over the world, and SAECG results are good at detecting subtle electrical abnormalities in areas that already have high potential to develop scarring. Therefore, it might be a useful tool for the early detection of symptoms and could lead to fewer scars and less chance of VA developing in the future. To see the collected data for this study or look at the cardiographic maps, download the paper and dive right on in. Today's episode of Journal Club was written and performed by me, Olive Mitra, with writing support from Malcolm Diggs. It was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow.